Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the second Perek of Hilchos Shabbos. This is a very foundational Perek in which the Rambam will discuss the whole concept of Pikuach Nefesh with regards to Shabbos and also more broadly, how taking into account concern for human life is something which can push away even the loftiest of mitzvos, the loftiest of dinim, like Hilchos Shabbos. And that's something very important for us to recognize in the Corona era that we live in. Halacha Aleph. Shabbos, just like any other mitzvah, is pushed aside when there is concern to human life. If there is a sick person who has a concern of danger to his health, we do all his needs on Shabbos, in accordance with the rulings of the doctor who is the most expert in that particular area. If there is a question, it's a matter of doubt whether or not there's need to violate Shabbos on his behalf or not. And similarly, if you have a different type of question, that it's not a question inherently, but one doctor says there's a need to violate Shabbos on his behalf, and one other doctor says no, there's no need. So in these circumstances, we violate Shabbos. Because even a question of doubt, a matter of life and death, which is a mere doubt, will push away Shabbos. Halacha Beis. Amaduhu biyom haShabbos shehutzarich lekach v'kach l'shmona yamim. If they evaluate him on Shabbos and he needs a particular treatment for 8 days, ain't omrim nam timad ha'erev k'deish l'lachal av shtei Shabbosos. We don't say, oh, let's wait till evening, you know, once it's Motei Shabbos already, so then technically it's Sunday, and we'll begin the 8-day process then. Now we will only have to violate one Shabbos. We don't do that. El maschilin mehayom shehu Shabbos u'mechalin alav afilu mea Shabbosos kol zman shehu tzarech. We begin that day. We violate that Shabbos, even 100 Shabboses, as long as he needs it. Yeshbo sakana, as long as there's a concern of the life. O suffix sakana mechalin. Or even if it's a mere question of whether there's a danger to life, nonetheless, we will continue to violate Shabbos. Umadlikin lo asaner, umachavim lo fun of asaner. And we light candles for him, and we extinguish candles for him. Shochetin lo, and we can slaughter animals for him. Ofin, and we can bake for him, uvashlim, and cook for him. Machamin lo chamin, and we can heat up water for him. Bein lashkoso, whether for him to drink. Bein lerachita skufo, even for him to wash his body. Klol shel davar, the overall rule. Shabbos ligabi chola sheish bo sakana. Shabbos, with concern, a sick person who has potential danger to his life. Harehu kechol, v'chol dvarim shutzarachlan. It's completely mundane. It's not like the sanctified day of Shabbos. It's like a regular weekday with regards to anything that he might need. Halacha Gimel. Kesha osim dvarim ha'elu, when we violate Shabbos in these fashions, ein osin osan al yedei nachrim, v'lo al yedei ketanim, v'lo al yedei avadim, v'lo al yedei nashim. We don't have them performed by non-Jews or children or slaves or women. Kesha lo tei Shabbos kali b'nehem, in order that Shabbos not be light in their eyes. Ela al yedei gdoli Yisrael v'chachmehen. Rather, who performs these acts? The greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael, the greatest of the sages. And it's forbidden to delay in violating Shabbos on behalf of a sick person who has a potential danger to his life. Shnei Meir's Basik says, Asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chay b'hem. With regards to doing mitzvahs, that a person should do them and live with them, v'lo Shabbos b'hem, and not that he should die from them. Halamarta, you learn from this, she'ein mishpatei ha'torah nekamabolam. The rules, the laws of the Torah, they aren't vengeance against the world. They're not there to hurt us. Ela rachamim v'chesed v'shalom bolam. They are rather, instead, mercy and kindness and peace in the world. Ve'elu apikorsim she'omrim she'zechol Shabbos v'asar. And those heretics who say that this is Chil Shabbos and it's forbidden, alein akasav omer, about them the pasuk says, gam ani nasati lahem chukim lo tovim mishpatim lo yuchyu b'hem. You, as punishment, will receive laws which are not good and judgments which you will not be able to succeed in surviving with. There's a very famous story about the Rav's father, the home of the Rav's grandfather, that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was once present in the home of Rav Chaim when there was somebody who was ill on Shabbos, and they called the doctor, and the doctor came to go and look at him, and Rav Chaim asked the doctor whether or not having a little bit more light would make things easier for him. And the doctor gave some sort of non-committal response, like, yeah, maybe. And immediately Reb Chaim turned to his son, Reb Moshe, and said, turn on the light. And Reb Moshe paused for a second. The doctor hadn't given such a committed answer. And Reb Chaim went, ha, I'm Oritz. And he turned to the Dion of Brisk, who quickly went and lit a candle and put it up there right away. And it was second nature to Reb Chaim that you don't pause for a second. You don't even consider, when it's a matter of life and death, the Brisker tradition has always been that you take it very, very seriously. And even something as high and lofty as Shabbos, if it's a matter of life and death, it might help a little bit. So you're mechalal of Shabbos, as we see from this Rambam. Halacha Dalet. Hachoshish be'enav, v'usha yeh b'shtehen, ob achas mehen sir, oshayu demos, shosos mehen merov hakev, oshayu dam shosis mehen, oshayu bahen kadachas, v'yotzi b'chalama elu. Harei zeh b'chalal chul m'shish b'hen tzakana. Mechalal of Shabbos, v'osin lo kol tzarchei refuah. So the Rambam now turns to give us a few examples of what might count as something which is a chol hashish b'sakana. And the Rambam says if somebody has some sort of pain in their eyes, and it could be in both the eyes or one of them, he has some sort of secretion coming out of it, or that he has tears flowing from them because of the high degree of pain that he's feeling, or that blood is flowing from them, or that they have some sort of lesion or fever or anything along these lines. So in this case, this is reason to say that this person counts as a chol hashish b'sakana and will violate Shabbos on his behalf and do all needs of medicine. Halacha hei. V'chein im yesh maka b'chalo gufo minasafa ulofnim b'im b'piv, b'im b'meyav, b'im b'chvedo u'tcholo o b'shar mekomos kol shish b'chalalo harei ze chol hashish b'sakana. So, similarly, if somebody has a wound in the general body cavity, in other words, from his lips inward, whether it's in his mouth then, or whether it's in his belly, whether it's in his liver, whether it's in his spleen, or any other area which is in that general cavity of the torso, harei zeh chol hashish b'sakana. So then this person is defined as a chol who has a sakana. Ve'ein tzarech omed shecholyo kavehu. And we don't need some sort of evaluation to determine that he has a very serious sickness. Lefikach mechal lav es Shabbos miyad b'lo amida. Therefore, immediately, we'll violate Shabbos on his behalf without any sort of evaluation. Umaka shehi begav hayad, begav haregel. And similarly, if you have a wound on the back of the hand or the back of the foot, harehu kemaka shalchalo, that also counts as if it was part of the body cavity. Ve'in etzricha omed, that too doesn't require an evaluation. Umachala as Shabbos, and we will violate Shabbos on its behalf. Va'chom shemesamer es habasar kemaka shalchalo dami, and also a fever which causes the whole body to really wince in pain. So then that too also is going to be considered kemaka shechalo dami. It's like this inner cavity wound. Umechal lav es Shabbos, and we'll violate Shabbos on that behalf as well. V'chein kol chol sharovim omrim shezeh yesh bo sakana. And also anything which the doctors say that this is something which we know has sakana. Af al pi shehu bor habasar, even if it's on the skin of the body. Mibachutz, all the way on the outside, it's only superficial. Umechal lav es Shabbos al pihem. We will follow the doctors, and we will violate Shabbos on their behalf. Halach vav. Habolea nima shomayim mechamin lo chamin b'shabbos v'osin lo kol tzarchei refuah b'nei shi'i sakanas nefashos. If somebody swallows a leech on Shabbos, then you're allowed to heat up water for him and take care of him completely, because this is really a matter of life and death. V'chei misha nashko kelev shote, and also somebody is bitten by a rabid dog, o echen mizocha leha'afar, or one of the animals which crawls in the dirt, you know, like a snake or a scorpion, shemisin, that leads to people to die. Afilo you suffic imamisin, even if it's one which you're not certain was the type of scorpion which can kill, or is it not the type that can kill? Nonetheless, osin lo kol tzarchei refuah latzilo. So then we will violate Shabbos, we'll do all medicinal needs for him in order to save him. Halacha zayin. Chol shamdu rofim lahavi lo grogeres achas, v'ratzu asar b'nei adam, v'viu lo eser grogeres v'ravas achas, kulan p'tur miklum. If there was a sick person who the doctors had evaluated, they said that he needs a fig, and then 10 people went to run to go bring him a fig, and they all brought him a fig. So then they've all been completely exempt in their action. They did the right thing. They haven't violated Shabbos. Afilu aviu b'zeh achar zeh. And not only if they all came at once, but even if one brought in, another one brought in, afilu hifri b'rishona, even if you already healed after the first one, they all are going to be exempt. Sha'arei kulam b'rishos haviu. Because each of them had license to do that which they had done. They all had permission to do that which they had done. And therefore, they haven't violated Shabbos at all. Halachaches. If there's a sick person who needs two figs, and they've only found two grogros which are on two separate stems, or three on one stem, so in that case, then you only do one act of cutting, and you cut the the stem that has the three on it, Afal Pish Ain Sarichin El Shtayim, even though you only need two of the three, Kadesh Liyarbo Bibitzira, because therefore that you'll be able to avoid the process of harvesting in this fashion. El Yichutsu Okez Echad, Belo Yichutsu Shtayim. Better to cut one rather than cut two, V'chein Kol Kiyot. And the same can be applied in many other situations. Halacha Tes. Mavasha L'chola B'Shabbos, V'achal L'chola, V'hosir. If somebody cooked on behalf of a sick person on Shabbos, and then he ate his food, and then he left over food, Asr L'bari L'chol Men Amutr. It is forbidden for a healthy person to eat from that which had remained over. Gzeir Hashem Ayarba B'Shvilo, because we have a concern that maybe he'll intentionally leave some over for him. Aval Shochet L'chola B'Shabbos. However, if you slaughtered an animal on behalf of a sick person on Shabbos, Mutr L'bari L'chol Men Amutr. It is permitted for a healthy person to eat from it raw meat. She'ein Badavar Tosefes K'dei She'nigzor Hashem Ayarba B'Shvilo, because there's no concept of leaving over. You didn't do anything else extra on behalf of this healthy person, meaning you only have one act of slaughtering the animal. So then, the fact that there will be extra and a healthy person will gain from it, that's fine. As opposed to in the case where of cooking, you can always come to cook more in order to help cover for the healthy person as well. And the same thing is true with regards to anything similar. Now, when we turn our gaze away from a chola she'esh bo sakana to a chola she'ein bo sakana, somebody who's sick, but there's not a matter of life and death at all, even not a matter of doubt of whether this is something which can lead to danger. So then we take care of him completely, but using a non-Jew. Ketzad, the Rambam will illustrate what he means. Omer l'nachri, lasos lo v'hu ose. We tell the non-Jew to do it for him, and he does it. V'asha lo v'lefos l'havi refua mir shus l'rshos l'yotu v'zeh. And we tell him to cook for him, and to bake for him, and to bring this medicine from one domain to another domain, anything else along these lines. V'chein kochel einav min ha'nachri b'shabbos, aval pi she'ein sham sakana. And also you can have the non-Jew apply ointment to his eyes in a certain fashion which would be helpful medicinally, even though it's not a matter of sakana. V'im ha'yu tzrichim l'dvarim she'ein v'ein malacha, osan osan afilu yisrael. And if he needs something which is not a malacha, so then a Jew can even do so. And therefore, a person can lift up his ears, or lift up the cartilage around his heart, or fix broken bones, or anything else along these lines you can do for him on Shabbos. A woman who's going to give birth, when she begins the process of giving birth, when she's already bending over to give birth, harehi besakanas nefashos, so she's already considered in the category of danger to her life, umechalin aleha as Shabbos, and we will violate Shabbos on her behalf. Korin la chachama, we will call her midwife, mimakum lamakum, from one place to another one, v'chokhin as a tabor, goshon aso, and we can cut the umbilical cord, and we can tie it. And if she wants light at a time when she's screaming out in pain from the birth pangs, so then we can light her a candle. And even if she's blind, but having a candle will make her be in a more stable frame of mind, we will do so. Even though she won't see it. If she needs oil or the like, so then we can bring it to her. And whenever possible, to do so in a fashion which will be with a bit of a shinoi, with a change in it, and lessen the degree of what would have been a violation, then we do so. For example, her friend will bring her vessel that she needs hung in her hair. But if it was impossible to do in some sort of strange fashion, then you're allowed to do so in the normal fashion. We do not assist a non-Jewish idolater to give birth on Shabbos, even if they're willing to pay for it. You don't have to worry about having any ill will raised between you and the non-Jews and the idolaters. And you don't have to worry about the fact that this might raise ire. Even though there won't be any Chil Shabbos, because they'll think that you're just not allowed to do this on Shabbos, and they won't get upset. However, we do assist a ger toshav, a woman who has accepted upon herself the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and lives amongst B'nei Israel and Eretz Israel. So since we are obligated to help her stay alive, so we do assist her. However, we don't violate Shabbos on her behalf. Halacha Yud Gimel. Chaya mishiyaschil hadam lios shoseis agitated with regards to the woman who's in childbirth. So from the time when blood has already begun to flow until after the child has been born, after she's given birth, 3 days already. So then we violate Shabbos on our behalf and take care of all our needs. Whether she says she needs it or whether she does, says that I don't need it. Now, from day three after the child's birth until day seven, im amra ainit tzricha, if she says I don't need it, so then we won't violate Shabbos on her behalf. Im shaska, but if she's silent, ain't tzarich lomar im amra tzrichani, and certainly goes without saying if she says that I need, so then in that case we will violate Shabbos on her behalf. And from 7 days after childbirth until 30 days, we assume she's in a presumed state of being a ill person, where there's not a concern of life and death. And then, therefore, if she says that I need it, so we don't do malacha for her on Shabbos unless it's through non-Jews. Halacha Yudalet. Osin medura lachaya vafilu bimosachama mnei shatzina kasha lachaya harbe mkomosakar. A fire can be lit, a whole torch can be ignited on behalf of a woman who's in childbirth, even during the warmer months, because cold is very, very difficult for a woman who's giving birth in places which are very, very cold. However, you don't make a torch, a fire, for somebody who's sick just to simply warm up. If somebody had let blood and then was feeling very cold, so then we can make them this torch once again, this fire to be warmed up from, even during the middle of the summer months. And we rinse the child on Shabbos, this newborn baby, on the day that he was born, after they've cut the umbilical cord, even with hot water, which was heated up on Shabbos. And we also put some salt on him and other types of ways of fixing his limbs and the like. So we do all these different processes because it's viewed as a danger to the child if these are not done. We also wash him before the mila, l'achar mila, and after the bris mila, and it was on the third day of the mila, and with hot water that was warmed up on Shabbos, because of, again, a concern of life and death. Halacha tesvav. If a woman was in the process of labor, mesa, and unfortunately she passed away from that process, you can carry a knife even through the Rosh Hashanah, the coroner's grace, and do a cesarean section, they tear open her belly, and they can take out the child. Because maybe you'll be found to still be alive. Because a question of life and death already is enough to make us push aside Shabbos, even with regard to this one, where we don't have a working assumption that they're alive. Normally we talk about suffix nefashos being docha Shabbos. That's with regards to somebody who is alive right here in front of us. But this child, it's not clear yet whether they are alive or dead. And nonetheless, we are allowed to violate Shabbos on their behalf. Halacha Tes Zayin. V'fachin pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos ve'ein tzarech lito rishos mibeis. We are able to take action on Shabbos in order to save lives, and you don't have to ask Beis Din for permission. And somebody who takes the role quicker, somebody who's willing and able to save on Shabbos and does so, then they are praiseworthy. Ketzat, for example, how can we see this? If you see a child fall into the sea, Poris Mitsuda, Malay, you throw out a net and you capture him, you bring him back up, you lift him up, the Aval Pishu Sada Dugamimo, even though you're gonna catch fish with him on Shabbos. Shama Shata Tinokbiyam, if you heard that a child had drowned in the sea, you poras mitsuda la loso, you threw out a net to capture him and to bring him back up, Baela Dugam Bilvad, Patramiklum. And in that circumstance, again, it's not your fault, even if though you were only successful in unfortunately bringing up the fish, so you just caught fish on Shabbos, nonetheless, you're still not obligated for anything. If you were intending to catch fish on Shabbos, intending to do a big isser, and you brought up fish, and lo and behold, there was a child there, so putter, in that case, you are exempt, even though you hadn't heard that the child had been drowning, since ultimately you brought up the child along with the fish, so the act that you had done was not one of Chilul Shabbos, it was technically saving the child's life, and therefore you are exempt for your action. Halacha Yud Zayin. Nafal tinok labor, if a child falls into a pit, oker chulya umalehu va'afal pishu metakin ba madrega b'shas akiraso, you are allowed to lift up pieces of dirt and get to the child, even though you're technically creating a step in the process of doing so. Ninal deles bifneitinok, if a child had the door locked in front of them. So in that circumstance, if you need to get the child out, shover adeles, you can break down the door motzio and take the child out. Avapi shum etfatzel sakimin etzim shruilim lacha shema yibayis hatinok viyamas. Since there's the concern that the child will get very scared and die in the process, so you're allowed to break down the door and take them out. And even though by breaking down the door, you're creating the door's wood into something which is fit for doing work with, so nonetheless, it's permitted. Nafla deleika, if unfortunately a fire's broken out, v'yisham adam shechoshen shema yisarif, and there's a concern that there's somebody who's there who might get burned, mechavanosa lahatzilo menesh, you can extinguish the fire in order to save him from the fire. V'afal pishu kovesh derech umetakna pishaskiwa, even though in the process of you doing so, you are making the road, the path of where you're walking on, more proper. V'chol hakodem lahatzil harezim shubach, and so too, anybody who is going to take the initiative and be quick to save somebody on Shabbos, so then they are praiseworthy. You don't have to take permission from Basin to do so. Again, whenever there's a matter of life and death, you don't ask twice, you don't think about it, you just do it. Halacha Yudches. If there's a question as to whether or not a person was trapped under a ruin of sorts, something fell down on top of him. So in that circumstance, when there's all these rocks and boulders and the like, if there's a question whether he's there, that's a ready basis for us to try to be Mechal Shabbos and move those things out of the way in order to find the person. But if we find him and he's alive, even though he's been crushed, and it's impossible that he'll be able to be healed, we still will continue to move those rocks out of the way and bring him out. Even for a little bit of life, it's already reason for us to be Mechal Shabbos, to push them aside and to pull the individual out. Halacha Yotes. Badku ad chatmo, v'lo matzu bo neshama. If we checked his nostrils and we did not find that he was breathing, manichan oso sham shekvar meis. So then we leave him there because we consider him already dead at that point. Badku matzu el yonim meisim, lo yomru kvar meisu tachtonim. However, if you were checking this whole series of rocks, if you had fallen on a whole lot of people, let's say there was an avalanche that had come from a nearby mountain, and it swept up a lot of people. So in this circumstance, then, you find the top people, the people on the highest layers, dead. So you don't assume that the people on the bottom layers have already died as well. El mafak and alakol, you continue to search through the rubbish, the wreckage, in order to find she'efsher she'mavapoles she'amas ha'elyon v'yehatachton chai. It's possible somebody could have died in the top part with the hit of the top part, but not that somebody on the bottom would have died. They could still be alive, and therefore you keep on searching. If you have a courtyard where non-Jewish idolaters and Jews live in the same place, and even if there's only one Jew and 1,000 idolaters, and again, this series of rocks fell on top of them all, there was some collapse of some building. So we will uncover all those rocks because of the Jew who might be there. If one of them left to some other courtyard, and then it fell on that other chatzar, so in that case, we will still go and remove all of those rocks, because maybe that Jew was the one who had left and gone to this new chatzar, and that's a ready reason, even though there's 1,000-to-1 odds that it was the Jew who had left to this chatzar now, and this chatzar is where this mapolas happened. Nonetheless, we will continue to search because maybe it was the Jew. If they all left from one chatzar to the other one, and at the time when they had left, one of them had gone out, and he had gone to a third one, and over there, there was this wreckage, and we don't know who that was. In that case, we won't go and search. Once they all left, then we don't view it as saying that the Jew is in that place. We assume, therefore, that whoever leaves them when they are in a state of movement, then we assume that it had left from the majority, and therefore the fikach imhaya harov Yisrael, had the majority been Jewish people, then were it to have been a majority of Jews who had all been there, and then they had all left, and then one of them had separated to a third courtyard, and this wreckage occurred, So then we would, of course, since maybe it had been a Jew, we would overturn all those rocks and we would dig out to see whether we could find this person. However, since that's not the case in our case, when it was 1001, so then we would not. Now we turn to a totally different topic, which relates to calculations of Shabbos. If somebody's walking in the Midbar, he's out in the wilderness, and he doesn't know what day it is, whether it's going to be Shabbos. Mona miyom shita shisha. He counts from the day that he got confused, 6 days. Mekadesh shvi, and he sanctifies the seventh day. Mevarach bo berachas yom u'mavdil b'motzei Shabbos. And he says the blessings of that day, and he says havdalah on motzei Shabbos. B'chol yom v'yom afilu b'yom zeh shu mekadesh u'mavdil bo mutar lo lasos kidei parnaso bovad kidei shlo yomos. And then on all the other days, he's not allowed to just assume that it's not Shabbos. Then he has to be nervous that they might still be Shabbos. But he is allowed to do enough malacha, which can keep him alive during his journey, this trek through the wilderness, in order that he not die. Since every day is potentially Shabbos, he's not allowed to do more than what's necessary for him to survive. We can appreciate why the Rambam would play this halacha here, because it relates to making sure that you can be saved and kept alive, despite the fact that you might be violating Shabbos, but you can't go beyond that. And if he knows that it's 8 days since he left, or 15 days since he left, or something similar, so then he is allowed to do malacha on that day. So then he's allowed to safely say that, look, there's no way I left on a caravan on Shabbos, that much I for sure didn't do. So therefore, if I know that it's been 8 days since then, or it's 15 days since then, so it cannot be Shabbos, because it's the same day that I had left on, the same day of the week that I had left on, so then you could do malach on that day. And all other days, except for that day, then he's still only allowed to do what he needs in order to survive. If you have non-Jews, idolaters, who had sieged Jewish cities, if they've come for reasons of money, so we don't violate Shabbos in order to defend ourselves against them. We also don't do war with them. If it was a city which is close to the border, close to the boundary, even though they come over matters of straw and hay and the like, we can go out with full warfare, full weaponry, and we'll violate Shabbos in order to fight them away. And in all places, if they came on matters of life and death, or they've begun to wage war, or they simply, without distinguishing, siege a Jewish settlement, so then we push aside the rules of Shabbos, and we go out with, again, full armament, full weaponry, and violate Shabbos in order to defend ourselves. And it is a positive action. It's something which is required amongst every member of Bnei Yisrael who's able to come and assist and fight off these idolaters on Shabbos, that they should come and do so, not just say, oh, it's not my fight. And it's forbidden for them to delay and wait around till Motzei Shabbos because they don't want to violate Shabbos. And when others indeed came to save them, so then they're allowed to go back home carrying their weaponry back to their own places on Shabbos, in order that they not be made to stumble in the future, in that they might be too upset by the fact that they had to leave everything behind and they have to go back and get another time, so next time they're not going to be as quick to come, so we allow them to bring it back home. Halacha Chaf Dalet. V'chein Sfina Hotrefes B'yam, O Ir Shekifa Karkon, O Nahar. And similarly, if you have a boat which is at distress at sea, it's beginning to sink, or a city is surrounded by a river which is going to flood it or the like, mitzvah letzeis b'shabbos latzilan b'chol davar sheyachol latzilan. So then there's a positive command for every individual who's able to go and help and save them to go and do so. V'afilu yachid anirdav m'nei ovi k'chavim, o m'nei nachash, o dov, shehu rodei v'acharav l'hargo, mitzvah latzilan. And even if it's not a whole city, but it's just an individual who's being chased by an idolater or a snake or a bear or the like, which is chasing after him in order to kill him, so it's a positive command for you to go and save him. V'afilu batzias kam malachos b'shabbos, even if this means you'll do many malachos on Shabbos. V'afilu talking klei zayin latzilo, even if it's to actually construct weapons with which to save him, mutter, this is all permitted. V'zoakim aleim mischanan b'shabbos u'masriin aleim lazor osam. And we call out to Hashem, And we also call out to other people by blowing trumpets and the like in order to go and assist them. However, we don't do the same with regards to plague on Shabbos. We don't call out to Hashem and make supplications and the like on plague on Shabbos. Halacha Chaf Hei, final halacha in the parak. Tzarin al yaros ovei kochavim shloshe yamim kodem Shabbos. When we are going to war against idolatrous cities, against non-Jews, so then we begin our siege against them 3 days before Shabbos. And we can do battle against them every day. Even on Shabbos, until we conquer it, even though this might not be a war which is mandated as a mitzvah, it's simply a permitted type of war. Nonetheless, we are still able to violate Shabbos in this circumstance, because we learn through our Mesorah, until it is defeated, even on Shabbos. The answer is lomar b'mechamas mitzvah, and it goes without saying that if this was a mechamas mitzvah, so then it would be permitted. Below kavash Yoshua Yericho el b'shabbos. In fact, Yoshua, when he conquered that first city of Yericho, and the Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yarden River and began their conquest of Eretz Yisrael, so that was only conquered on Shabbos. So you see that it is permitted. That concludes this very, very important parak. Again, all about pikuach nefesh.